This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and listening to tonight's edition of Free Talk Live. Hour number two of tonight's program is on the way. And I want to tell you that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Fork Fest, which is happening June 13th through 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire.
Sure are.
It is really beautiful out there. I can't even remember. Like, I don't remember not having a good wake up at Rogers Campground.
Oh, it's
like
gorgeous.
A wake up. And even if it's raining, you look out and you're like, oh, even the rain coming over the mountains looks awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, whenever you get an opportunity to sort of look to the, I think it's north there, and see the presidentials, specifically Mount Washington, but really it's all just a gorgeous view in so many directions. You just look up, stop, wow, and then realize you're just in one of the more beautiful places in the world. It's gorgeous. It never gets old. And I've been going for years.
You have. It's June 13th through 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized. That means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. So if you want an event, bring the event. Be the event you want to see at ForkFest. Don't count on somebody else having the event you might want to attend. Right, bring the event you want to see there. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
And coming to you remote from Florida, Mark Edge.
We got Mark saying his own thing now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you know, well, Peakless didn't do it.
Thanks for picking up Peakless's slack, Ben. Mark. We appreciate you.
You know, I can do that. I can do that for you.
It sounds so good when you do it.
We've been talking about, in the previous segment, we talked a little bit about philosophy or whatever, but like we've been talking about this situation in Arizona where there is a person, her name is Christine Searle, and she is a horse trainer in Arizona on the verge of losing her life savings over an unpaid $1,607.68 property tax bill. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled already in Minnesota that situations like this are no, right? Like, no good. We're not going to, like, that is theft of the highest order, and that, like, a state should not be able to steal or take, forfeit somebody's home, put it on the market, and then take all of the proceeds.
Don't you love how they only occasionally follow their own rules?
This is why I'm so anti-state.
See, you need to know all of our rules. I mean, that's physically impossible and no one's ever done it, but it is required of everyone. We, on the other hand, don't have to know any of them.
The states that are currently most able to sell your home out from under you should you owe some amount of tax money that is unpaid are Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, and South Dakota. There are others. Those are just like the most, like the states where this is most applicable. And she happens to be in Arizona. A county treasurer can place a lien on property for taxes owed in Arizona. These financial claims are then sold at an online auction. In the auction, buyers bid the lowest interest rate they intend to charge property owners to redeem the lien. The bidding begins at 16%, and the lowest bid wins. Now, I don't know about everyone else, but I bought my property in 2020, and I got, you know, way less than 16% interest on my mortgage. So, like, to me, that's just rape.
Yeah.
Like, that interest rate is insane. That's the beginning interest rate is 16. It can go up from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't go lower, according to this article.
Well, it just goes to show that really what she should have done is borrow money from a different mafia to pay off this mafia, and then she would still have her house.
The multi-mafia effect, you say?
I mean, sure, they might charge 30% interest, but they'll only charge it on the $16,000 instead of the $400,000.
$1,600?
Yeah, sorry, $1,600.
Purchasing a tax lien doesn't transfer ownership of the property in Arizona. The property owner has 3 years to pay back the taxes, which includes fees and interest. If it is not redeemed within that time, the lien holder may foreclose and sell the property. Unsold tax liens are turned over to the state. The state has the same right to foreclose, but must return any excess proceeds to the former property owner. In 2005, Ms. Searle bought a three-bedroom, two-bath house as a rental property for $255,000. The house is in Gilbert, Arizona, 22 miles southeast of Phoenix. Its 2024 property tax appraisal came to $376,800, but she stands to lose much more than the taxable value. Various real estate websites estimate the current market value to sit somewhere between $420,000 and $510,000. Far more than, you know, what the...
$1,600.
Yeah. The investment firm Arapahoe LLC Tesco purchased the tax lien on Ms. Searle's property when it bought all of Maricopa County's 2015 and 2016 tax liens. Wait. If I read this correctly, I didn't know this until now, or it didn't sink in until now, that there are companies that purchase tax liens?
Mm-hmm.
And they just buy all?
Oh, yeah.
Like this company apparently bought
whatever they can get.
All.
Yeah.
Of Maricopa County's 2015 and 2016 tax liens. They're like, ah, you know what? Anybody that owes some taxes this year, we'll buy them all.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's a great deal.
What a good deal.
Yeah, they get to pay this little amount, and if you can't pay off that lien, then it's just, I mean, almost free property for them.
Almost. Arapahoe stands to gain a significant profit if it sells the property under current law. Arapahoe's contact information was not available. An internet search showed that the Phoenix company, which is involved in a number of legal actions in Arizona, lists Hamilton Municipal Financing of Altamonte Springs, Florida, as a principal. Hamilton is incorporated in Delaware. Well, I mean, we know how these things work. Like, people incorporate in New Hampshire all the time for certain, you know, benefits, or they're trying to avoid a tax of this nature or the other nature. Same thing with Delaware.
But, no, that is literally the only thing I know about Delaware, is that they are where all of the credit card companies, all of the banks, and an extraordinary number of corporations are.
I remember growing up and, like, you would hear these, like, you know, these, I don't call them infomer, but commercials, like, you know, are you an inventor? Right? Please, blah, 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 blah. Mail your stuff to blah, 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 Concord, New Hampshire. Right? Mm. I remember, like, a bunch of things being advertised in New Hampshire because, arguably, New Hampshire, still legally, is, like, the freest state for businesses to operate. Or at least one
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it definitely comes up, two or three in the Cato lists.
Right.
And they, you know, they only really pay attention to the financial freedoms.
Right. And I, like, I'm saying incorporate. Like, if you want to own and run a business and you don't have the headquarters, you want somewhere that's, like, tax-friendly, yes, consider Maryland, consider New Hampshire, consider, you know, I don't know, Arizona, Montana. There's a number of places you might consider, depending on how tax-friendly you want your business to be. So, according to PLF, tax liens are popular with banks, investment firms, and other entities. Public data gathered by PLF shows that Maricopa County sold 567 tax liens between 2012 and 2021. A review of those records by the Epoch Times found that at least 424 of them, or three quarters of those purchasers, were businesses, not individuals.
Mm-hmm.
This is based on buyers being listed as incorporated, an LLC, or a trust, or a DBA.
Well, and this is the basic way that the financial and business structure of America runs. Everything is founded around the government. Like, everything. If you are not some kind or another of a cantillionaire,
yeah,
you do not succeed in America. It's really that simple.
It's true.
You know, this is just another version of like the prison industrial complex, where, again, all of their customers are not there by choice.
Yeah. I remember Saturday Night Live. Mark, you're about my age and probably remember Saturday Night Live. They used to have Chris Farley on there who would do a bit. And it was like a derogative bit about, like, you will end up living in a van down by the river. Right, yeah. And that was a joke,
mm-hmm.
right? Nowadays, like, the kids growing up today are thinking, like, man, I will be lucky if I make enough money to buy a van.
I have my own van?
Down by the river.
Well, and you know what? I am not paying any property taxes on my van.
You got to pay registration, but, you know, if you do the Montana thing, you know there's there's a dance you can do to sort of get around that kind of a thing. But, yeah, you're right. You might have to pay some form of, I mean, you got to pay tax on the gas whenever you fuel up or diesel or whatever it is. You also have to figure out where you're going to park from time to time.
And I think this is a big part of what is meant by the phrase, you will own nothing and be happy. Now, the owning nothing comes from things like this. Can you really say that you own a thing when you must pay someone else in order to maintain control of it? And, as far as being happy, that's what the drugs are for, and soon brain chips.
It's so weird to me, like, as a Gen Xer, where, like, drugs, if you will, illegal drugs, were always the, like, you know, anti-establishment thing, like, mm-hmm. Screw the establishment, I'm going to go over here and do drugs tonight, right? You know, that was the kind of thing. Now, the establishment is all about drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, drugs are like the forefront of the establishment.
Oh, yeah. Most people are on them.
They not only don't frown upon you, but they encourage you to be on drugs.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just a question of who's providing them.
So, I mean, it's another question that I hadn't really thought of too much, but if they offer a drug, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
where you're happy all of the time, I'm not talking about addled, I'm just talking about happy, then that would certainly solve all the political conflicts out there. I don't know that I would take the advice of anybody who was on the drug. How does
that solve political conflict?
Well, everybody's happy. Nobody's unhappy.
Right, but like how... Okay, so everybody starts taking this drug, and there's like, I don't know, Biden and Trump running for president, right? Like,
sure.
How does people go, I'm happy. Oh, and Trump's still running, and Biden's still running. I'm so happy about that. Like, I don't understand how that...
I don't know how democracy would work, but there's a good chance that fewer people would go to the polls at all. I mean, most people now, at this time, seem driven to the polls by unhappiness.
What do the Polish people have to deal with any of this, Mark?
Whether it's fear, which is certainly a form of unhappiness, or...
Yes.
You know, anger or whatever the feeling you have about one of those two particular candidates, it's likely a feeling that we would call unhappiness.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So you also have to consider that the fluoride that they put in every city water stream is chemically effectively a form of Xanax. I mean, it doesn't make you happy, but it does make you a little bit zen and kind of numb to everything, so that things just don't affect you as much.
Why did more people vote in the 2020 election than any election that had ever occurred before?
Well, that would be Orange Hitler, of course.
Okay. Well, they're unhappy about him.
That's true. He managed to pierce the veil of Xanax. Because the terror of that cartoon character being king is greater than the power of the waterborne Xanax.
Recently, some other people were naming like random phrases that people would say as band names, and I think Vale of Xanax is a great band name.
Yeah, it's an awesome one. You're right.
Retirement plan upended. So, Miss Searle, the lady in this story we've been talking about, she's about 70 years old and, you know, near retirement age. The story continues that she sits on a metal patio chair under a shady tree in front of some stables and talks about her retirement plan. I have all my money invested in that home as my retirement instead of putting it in a CD or some kind of bank account. I can make a little money on the side to pay the mortgage and keep and sell it when I need the money, she said. She's shocked at how close she is to losing her life savings to an investment firm. For 18 years, she lived in Chandler, Arizona with her husband and son,
Somebody
Randy.
Didn't watch South Park, and it's gone.
According to Ms. Searle, she left a typically comfortable suburban middle-class American life. Her then-husband worked for a jewelry and memorabilia company serving high schools and colleges, and she trained horses. She knew it was possible to lose property over unpaid taxes, but that happened to other people. It wasn't part of her life or something she really knew much about. I didn't think about it, she said. Now, this brings up an interesting thing that most people don't talk about, and that is the system, if you will, government, right, for lack of a better term, or government in cooperation with their corporate fascist friends, their banks, the Federal Reserve, et cetera, and so on, endeavor to keep you busy, so busy that you don't have time to think about things, to investigate things, to figure out things that you otherwise might be drawn
to.
Well,
then you might want to make decisions. That's their job.
Right. Exactly. And so this is, I believe, an example that we're seeing right here in print. She knew it was possible to lose property over unpaid taxes, but that happened to other people, not her. Oh, it wouldn't happen, NIMBY, not in my backyard, right? Yeah, that would never happen to me. It wasn't part of her life or something she really knew much about. Now, maybe she had heard something about other people losing property in the past, but didn't have the time to look into it, didn't have the time to read the articles or investigate the situation.
And certainly didn't have time to do anything about it.
Right.
And that really is the problem. And this is with absolutely everything. It's unfortunately apparently a part of the human makeup that until it is forced upon you as a problem, we just don't do anything about any of these huge problems that exist.
We, Mark, you'll know this, and you too, Peakless. We've talked many times about what is the thing that wakes people up out of their statism into libertarian anarchism, you know, voluntarism, whatever that is, right? Right. What is it that, like, we can't find, and I still can't find, like, a rhyme or a reason to it, with the exception of people who have been wronged by the state.
Mm. Right? That certainly helps. Well, so here's one fact that is really important to note. Somewhere around 85%. Some people say higher numbers, some people say lower numbers. I think it's a spectrum, but I like the number 85. Somewhere around 85% of people, generally, this is not Americans, it's people on the planet, value social cohesion, group cohesion, people being happy with each other over the truth.
Ooh.
Fact. And
ooh.
There are people who run towards the end of that little thing, people like, you know, hosts of Free Talk Live, right, where
right.
We value the truth over making people happy.
Right.
Some of us, sadly, value making people unhappy over the truth, but, you know, nonetheless. And that's kind of the first thing I would say about it is as far as what it takes to make somebody a libertarian. The second thing I...
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, so, I mean, with that one, it's really just a question of in what time frame? Because, like, if you want people to be happy with each other now, this second, this quarter, this week, then the truth really doesn't matter all that much. If you want people to get along for any sustained period of time, then the truth is absolutely indispensable.
I hear you.
And that's really the difference, is what's your time structure?
I hear you, and I think that politicians attempt, I don't think they do this intentionally, but I think they attempt to balance sort of the truth of it all and the making people happy thing. So if you wanted...
No. I disagree completely. I think politicians are trying to give you some version of those two things in order to benefit themselves.
I can think of literally two people that, you know, as far as, like, national politics goes, that I think the truth has ever crossed their mind, and that's Thomas Massey and Ron Paul.
Well, every politician knows that if they raised the minimum wage to $100 an hour and they printed a whole bunch of money and inflated everything, that people would be very happy in the short term and that they would get elected the next go around.
Mm-hmm.
But they would probably get themselves in big trouble the go around after that. They know they can't just, you know, totally nosedive the economy for their own benefit.
$1,000 an hour minimum wage.
Right. So
yeah, I was going to say, 100's actually pretty reasonable at this point. I mean, like, that is literally only a fourfold increase of, like, the going political movement right now.
25?
Yeah, 25
I haven't
is
heard
the
25.
Yeah, no, that's the current.
That's the new one.
Yeah, that is the current push for minimum wage.
Like, what do you think a person at McDonald's is making in New Hampshire right now?
Jack squat.
You know, well, what I mean is dollars per hour.
Oh, probably 15 bucks. Yeah, probably 15.
I was thinking 20, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Somewhere in between there. Okay, so let's go 16.50.
Okay.
Yeah, and fun fact, we have no state minimum wage. We only have the federal minimum wage to worry about.
And no one makes that here. No one makes that.
Literally no
one. There is not a job. I mean, maybe there's like a waitress position where it makes the minimum and then the rest is tips.
Right.
But like overall, if you work a 40-hour week, you're certainly not making minimum wage and that's all of your income.
Yeah, it's really hard to make $15 an hour in the United States from what I can see. Now, I haven't seen everywhere, but everything I see advertising for workers is like $18 an hour and up.
Yeah. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number if you would like to join us tonight on Free Talk Live. We've been talking about this lady in Arizona who could lose her $400,000 home for a $1,600 tax bill. And we've got more in store for you, including, could Julian Assange walk free? Coming up, Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
News update. Former President Trump taking his social media platform Truth Social public next week, and he stands to make a lot of money. USA's John Schaefer reports.
The social media company founded by former President Trump is set to become publicly traded through a merger. Shareholders of Digital World Acquisition Corporation granted approval on Friday for the merger with Trump Media and Technology Group, the owner of the Truth Social platform. Trump's ownership in the new company valued at around $3 billion.
I'm John Schaefer.
Meanwhile, Trump facing a Monday deadline to come up with almost $500 million in order to appeal his civil fraud judgment. New York Attorney General Democrat Letitia James is preparing to seize some of Trump's Westchester County, New York properties, including one of Trump's golf courses. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, coming to you on this fine Saturday evening. It is, what are we on? We're in hour number two, segment two. Each segment is about a half hour. And if you'd like to join us in the conversation, the telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
And Peakless Mountaineer, and joining us remotely from Florida.
It's the guy who stepped away from his computer during the break. Co-founder of this show, known as Mark Edge.
And currently susceptible to any of the crap that we want to talk about.
What's really weird is, like, I can hear things going on in the background of wherever he's at. Like, even though, like, he just sat down, you know, he's scratching his head. He's like, oh, gosh, has the show started already? I don't even know. Maybe I should put on my headphones and see if the show is going right now. Yes, good idea. Very well, Mark. Yes, good job. Well done.
Yes. Terribly sorry. I didn't realize that we were back.
Bottom of the hour.
Oh, you didn't?
Mark, you've been doing
this show. We barely even noticed.
For some time. The bottom of the hour is the short one.
Indeed.
Not that I need to tell you that. we've been talking about this situation where this lady in Arizona.
Well, before we get back to that, I wanted to hear Mark's other thing that he had noticed about people's transition into libertarianism.
Oh, right. We talked about, like, what is the thing that, like, wakes people up out of statism,
right,
and brings them into libertarianism, voluntarism, anarchism, whatever you want to call it.
I definitely think he's definitely onto something with that first point of, like, 85% of people, give or take, have just a way higher preference of getting along than of consistency or principles or truth.
So which is to say that they will never be libertarians.
So what's the other?
Well, I'm sorry. Which is to say that they will only be libertarians when being a libertarian makes sense.
Right. Or when it's popular.
Right.
Right. Right. What we now have is, you know, socialists running as a Democratic Party and people who will be equivalent to the Democratic Party in 10 years. Right? Like, they're just 10 years behind the Democratic Party, is mm-hmm. what the Republican Party is.
Socialists driving the speed limit.
Right. You know, that's what you got. So the whole thing is socialism.
Yes.
Cultural Marxism, whatever you want to call it.
The whole thing is socialism. Republicans and Democrats are both socialists.
No, I don't think so.
No, they are. They just argue about how to spend everybody else's money differently.
Well, so the Republicans and some of the Democrats have fought for the nominal right to own property. Now, they both want the government to tell you what to do with that property. And that makes them fascists,
right,
not socialists.
I mean,
there is a, like, difference.
In that particular slice, sure, I'll agree with you. But the overall picture is they're both socialists because
right,
they keep supporting the socialism that is the United States of America.
Well, and ironically, we have achieved a truly communist and Marxist system through fascism in our central bank.
So disgusting to think about that.
See, having a central bank is one of the pillars of Marxist communism. And we have achieved this through our corporations.
Yeah.
So,
Mark, what was the second thing? Like, you mentioned the first thing was the 85%. What was the other thing that wakes people up?
The other thing that I would say is that this town that I've talked about previously, this housing development
called Morazan.
Okay. What's that? Housing development.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's called Morazan. It's in Chiloma, Honduras, and it is essentially a special economic zone that's privately owned by a libertarian billionaire who can basically set all his own rules. And people willingly move there. They're treated with dignity there. They're able to own a home that is not a tin shack there. And their, you know, kids are able to take normal showers and, you know, everything that you would imagine is sort of a modern home, a cheap one, but, you know, it's clean and it's well constructed.
Inexpensive, not cheap, right?
Inexpensive, right? That's a better term. And these people essentially are operating in a libertarian system, and they act libertarian. Now, let me give you a couple of examples, because what does acting libertarian mean?
Genius, thank you.
It means what? It means essentially not initiating force against your neighbor in order to solve your problems. But I think most people don't generally. But what happens if we sort of take them out of the old paradigm, these antiquated encumbrances that we call government now, and we go to something that is faster, more nimble, and more fair? So this is, and it's important to note, this is Chiloma, Honduras is the most violent city, or at least was in the recent past, in a country that was, in the recent past, the most violent country on Earth that wasn't a war zone.
Very recently,
So the country the most violent, and then the city even more violent because it's the most violent within that territory.
Correct. So let's just call this a pretty darned violent place for a place that's not at war. And this housing development, essentially, all they did, put up a 10-foot wall, and they got like 7, 8, 9, 10 security guards that keep everybody safe. And they had a violent incident a few months ago where a man decided to push his wife up against the wall while arguing at a party. They have parties every weekend there. They love pinatas. By the way, pinatas, not Honduran, but they love them nonetheless. And
what are the pinatas filled with in Honduras? Same thing? Okay, all right, just checking. Yeah. I was like, you know, is it like joints? Is it like, you know?
How libertarian kind of are we talking here?
Anyway, continue. I
our pinatas will be filled with drugs and AK-47s.
At least some ammunition or something. Anyway,
that might not be the best choice for something you're going to whack with a stick. Just thinking that.
I didn't mean to interrupt your flea. You were on a roll. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Right. So basically, the security guards stopped this incident, and they, you know, wanted to know what to do. The guy who runs the place came up with a solution. He talked to the woman to make sure what she wanted to achieve.
Oh, my God. You mean non-state intervention into a societal dispute?
Well, and even bigger than that, actually consulting the victim on what would make them whole.
Whoa.
Just mind-blowing.
These are unheard of.
And they came up with a solution that he should be banished for 2 weeks, and then he would be able to return. He left for 2 weeks. He came back, and everything's been bright and sunny since then. Essentially, he found out that the way that, you know, he was told that he was able to handle a personal relationship up to that point wasn't going to work here, so he changed his behavior. Pretty awesome.
Absolutely second beautiful.
Story, yeah, second story, a guy moves in. He runs up a bill at the local, it's called a pulperia, but call it a convenience store that people run out of their house.
A bodega.
Yeah, bodega is another good term. And he runs up a bill. You know, they're making him food. They're like, wait, this is a great customer. And I think it's a $250 bill. I may be wrong on that, but, you know, $250 is quite a bit there. It's 2 months' rent almost. And essentially, he leaves for a few days, and at that point, his apartment's considered abandoned. And the management says, "Okay, well, you can have whatever's in that house in order to make the, you know, they had to prove that there was a bill and all that stuff." But everybody knew there's only 64 units there. Everybody knows. And the guy, and they gave whatever's in the unit to the pulperia, and they took like the couch and I think there were some appliances or whatever, and they took whatever they wanted. And the guy comes back and says, "Hey, I want to get my stuff out of my unit," which, of course, at this point he was in arrears for. But they're like, essentially, "Yeah, well, you got to get your stuff and get out. Clean out anything you want to clean out.
Yeah.
Get it out of there because we're gonna, you know, throw it all in the dumpster tomorrow." And the guy's like, "Glad I got here in time." He's like, "Where's my couch and some appliances?" "Oh no, we gave that to the bodega. You owed them money." You know, like he was upset that he didn't get to rip people off because the old system, the Honduran civil system, was never going to hold him responsible.
Right.
But this system held him responsible and held him responsible quickly. And so he ended up leaving, by the way, and, you know, he could never get any what he called justice because they don't have power inside the special economics.
Did he take his stuff?
No, he did not clean out his unit. I mean, he may have taken a little bit of stuff, but essentially the people that have to clean, you know, the house cleaning
staff. Yeah, the little secret stash he had, like, you know, underneath the coffee table or whatever he probably got. But, like, he didn't, like, clean the place, right? It wasn't left in, like, move-in condition for the next person, right?
No. So he did not get his deposit back. And all this is possible because of the system that they have there at Morazan. And the whole idea is that up until this point, libertarians have converted people by saying, "Read this book." And, you know, we've handed them Economics in One Lesson or
Mises, Rothbard, et cetera, and so on.
Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, you pick. Heinlein's another good one. Whatever the book might be, we're like, "This is the book. Read this book."
Oh, dude.
And then the person,
Roger Ver's,
if they in fact read it.
Roger Ver's got a new book out about the Bitcoin split, by the way.
Block size wars?
Yeah, we can talk about that later. I just wanted to mention that to you. Anyway, go ahead.
Yep. So basically, you know, most people aren't going to read the book, but, you know, you try, and maybe some of your friends read it, and then some of them convert, and then you're like, "Yay, I converted somebody to libertarianism." And then after 3 or 5 years or whatever, they're not as passionate about it as they were. And then what? You know. And ultimately, libertarians, us, we're a type. right? Like, we're a personality type. And we stay passionate about liberty for a reason. That is, you know, whatever the reason is, it's because of how our personalities are, not because this is, you know, this is a religion or anything like that. And so ultimately what I would say is the best way to convert people to liberty, that 85% of people that I was talking about, is to essentially create a libertarian place. And then the people who are in that place will begin acting like libertarians.
Right. And that's kind of like I know a lot of people, I know some people who are like, hey, look, man, we're libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist, whatever you want to call it. Like, we subscribe to the non-aggression principle, and there's not a chance in hell that it's going to be popular. We are the unpopular way of seeing things because, as Mark, you pointed out earlier, most people want to be a part of the crowd. They want to go along to get along, even if it means they're wrong, even if it means it's not the truth. They want to be a part of, like, oh, well, everybody else is doing this thing, so I'm going to do this thing, right? That's how Nazism came to be.
So I think you're wrong there. I think that this is, not only is this going to be popular, it's going to be popular sooner than you might expect.
I hope. Now, like, no, I hope, and I want, but like...
Well, so let me lay out why I think this is the case. Now, I think that Mark is absolutely dead on. The vast majority of people will do whatever is easiest to do. The reason that people aren't libertarians in an illiberal society, in the classical sense of the word, is... because it's easier to be authoritarian in an authoritarian society. And the only thing that's going to make them appreciate and perform according to property rights and liberty is if that's what everyone's doing, and it becomes more difficult not to do that. Now, there are two things that are happening simultaneously that I think are completely and radically transforming not just America, but the entire planet right now. Now, one of these is we have fundamentally shifted where we are getting our information and how we are getting our information. Okay. And both of those are really important factors. So number one, we're not getting our information from controlled, corporate, state-subsidized sources.
Okay.
And number two, we're not getting our information spoon-fed to us. Now, that seems like a small thing, but it's actually huge neurologically, because when your nervous system engages the I'm going to seek out something dangerous protocol, it works completely differently. It doesn't look for easy solutions. It doesn't look for what everyone's doing. It looks for tools. It looks for new things. It thinks creatively. So, number one, you have a different source of information. Number two, you're finding it in a different way. And this is all one big thing.
Yeah.
And they have just gone through this process where almost everybody knows someone who is vaccine injured. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
But also, I want to talk about what you said about how your brain works differently if you seek out information that is sort of contrary to the norm. I was working at a very large software company based in Seattle, Washington, whose name I will not mention. You all know who this is, right? It rhymes with Yul Bates, right? You know, if that gives you any clue. Anyway, so I'm there, and I'm doing my job, and I'm part of this team that's doing the early version of this particular software company's online meeting software, right? Their, group, like Jitsi or something like that, or Zoom. You know, it's the early version, their early version of that. And so I had some free time to play with, and somebody had sent me a link to, we mentioned it earlier, Aaron Russo's Fascism, or Freedom to Fascism.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching that thing while I'm doing, like, it's on one screen. I got three screens, right? It's on one screen. I'm doing my work on the other two screens. And so I'm watching this thing, and it occurs to me that, like, man, I'm watching something that, like, they, quote unquote, won't like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know who they are at this point. But, like, I'm watching this. I'm looking over my shoulders. Right? I'm like, who's watching me watch this? Okay, it doesn't look like anybody's watching. But, like, you know, it's a large software company, and, like, they could be just monitoring my computer at whatever time, whatever.
Right.
So I start getting all sorts of paranoid. But at the same time, you're right. I started looking for ways to, like, oh, how do I combat this new information that I've just taken in? That there is something called asset forfeiture,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like civil asset forfeiture.
Like, how do I combat this? If I ever own property, how do I protect myself from that happening, right? I'm starting mm-hmm. to think about these things. And so I'm looking these things up online through my favorite search engine or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. As soon as I had this new information in front of me, my brain started to work differently and creatively, even though I didn't even own property at the time.
Yeah.
I was so, like, blown away by what the government has done to these other people by taking their property, by quote-unquote civil asset forfeiture, unquote, and, like, selling it all, keeping the profit for themselves, etc., and so on. Or even just taking it as a course of, like, well, we're going to build an off-ramp for the freeway. Screw your house, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these people had no way of defending themselves from this outside of, like, shooting at the people who came to take their property,
right?
And they weren't willing to engage in that level of defense of their property, right? They probably would have lied. Everybody knows the government has more guns than you do, right? So, like, engaging in that is, like, a last-ditch effort most of the time.
Since you mention it, it's worth considering the fact that basically everyone's just doing the easiest possible thing. That includes the sheriff that repossesses your house. So it is the fact that...
Sure.
That, do you know how many people will shoot at the sheriff when they try to repossess their house?
But they won't shoot at
nearly zero.
Zero.
But they didn't
approximately
shoot
zero. Now, if that shifts from zero, which we might actually see soon,
yeah.
because, like, this entire money system is set for an in-breath and an out-breath, if you will.
Yeah.
So they breathe out debt, poverty, and easy money, and then they breathe in all of your property.
And your now, fear.
Right. Right now, we are in that breathe-in moment where they are snatching people's properties left and right,
yep.
and at some point... There reaches a point where people have no ability to do anything except shoot the police. And I don't know if we're going to be able to avoid that. That would be preferable. But we might very well see the point where sheriffs stop trying to take property because they realize how dangerous it is.
Well, yeah, I think that would be where what we're talking
yeah.
about is.
And
if
that
you,
would
if
and
you
that,
get to the point where the people are holding up the moonshiner over the revenuer,
right?
And we've been there before.
Yep.
Just think about the words I've used, moonshiner
yep.
and revenuer.
Mm-hmm.
If we get to that point again, which by the looks of it, the system looks very much like it's designed to gobble up everything that is owned by people who are in the bottom 90%. It looks like it's being rigged. It has been rigged that way.
Yep.
I'm not saying it has, but it sure feels
I
like
mean,
it has.
I'll
you,
say it has.
You just look like...
I mean, I can give you details if you're interested, but
no,
it
like,
absolutely is designed for that purpose.
As a person who has been employed to look at systems and work with systems, the only way you know if a system is doing its job, the thing it was engineered to do, is to look at the output of
right.
said system. Now, if you look at the output of the United States federal government, well, it is not creating a free place for people to be happy and prosperous and, like, you know,
and
it's
none
really
of that. Simple. And if you just look at, like, there's an old Jefferson quote, and just look up the phrase, first by inflation, then by deflation, and he talks about how people will be homeless on the continent that their fathers fought for. Yes, that is the design of our banking system.
Now I will, that's not a Jefferson quote, but it is attributed to him. But it's darn true. I mean, everything about that statement appears to be true, and I agree with you that we're there. It's just as I've heard that it's a allegorical statement or whatever the situation, whatever they call that. Apocryphal, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So,
and anyway, the I think that it's still possible. I'd love to believe, at the very least, that it is possible to employ thrift in the United States and still beat the system. Buy the things you need to buy and, have success and put some money away and, do all the right things. And then like, you may very well rise to the surface.
Well, and this brings me to the other, because I said there were two. There are two ways in which we might very well see it become the easiest thing to do to just be libertarian. And one of them is the information, because we are ruled over by lies. That is just how this system works. As soon as we start knowing what's really going on. So that's the first one. The second one is money. Now, there is a way of putting aside money in a way that completely defeats their entire machinations of every banking system in the world. Bitcoin is an example of this. So is Dash, for that matter. These are ways of saving up money so effectively that the entire global control grid just can't stop it. And you, by doubling the purchasing power of your saved money every year, you can, in fact, defeat them peacefully. Now, give this a little bit of time to really get going, because we are only reaching the end of the beginning at about, say, the end of this year. So give this a little bit of time to get going, and this will take over the entire planet. And at that point, it just becomes easier to use Bitcoin than to not use Bitcoin. And the thing is that this creates, by its very nature, a system that is fundamentally fair, universally acceptable, and can't be gamed.
Yeah.
And it's property rights written into the code.
The only semantic I would argue is, I would say cryptocurrency instead of Bitcoin. Because, like, like we've been talking a little bit, I know on the, I think, was it this Wednesday? I wasn't, I didn't listen to the show, but we were supposed to have Silver Dave on, and he was supposed to talk with the hosts about, like, silver versus cryptocurrency and have some sort of a debate on that. Because apparently, Silver Dave and at least one of our former co-hosts who sort of works with him in, you know, trying to make the silver thing that they've got going, they've got an enterprise going on, work, have been, have taken up the marketing strategy of crapping on Bitcoin, right?
And, well, and I say Bitcoin because that's the best savings tool, and the ones that are best beside those are offshoots of that protocol.
We'll come back to talk of all this, Mark. I know you have much to say on this topic.
I do.
we also have, you know, your calls. If you dial 603-283-6160, hour number three of Free Talk Live is still to come. Plus, will Julian Assange walk free? We've got information. More is coming up.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.